Welcome to How to Build a Tent, the How to Make You Successful podcast. And boy, do I feel like I'm literally inside of a tent. As I am speaking and recording this podcast, my house has all the windows covered by plastic because the house is getting painted. One of the HOA requirements for this neighborhood is that you have to paint your house every time you sell it. Now that's what is happening at this moment. We are also trying to pack, which is why it's crazy and why we are just doing audio podcasts right now. When we come back in my new location, my new office, we're going to be all ramped up, ready to go. We'll have the video back on for you. So those of you listening on YouTube or on the social media sites, just want to say thank you for sticking with us on that. Thank you for all the new followers. Special shout out to you guys. Really appreciate all the follows on the social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Minds, YouTube. Minds is a great platform. I would highly recommend it if you're looking for an uncensored, or I'm sure there's some censoring, but at least it's not as like advertently or as obvious and as obstructive as, or obstructive, is that a word? It's at least not as intentional or overt is probably the word I was looking for, overt, as the other sites are. So go give that a check. It's a pretty good site, good experience so far. Big shout out to them. And also, we are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to the Fight Laugh Feast Network website, fightlaughfeast.com. Become a member. They are just coming out with 10 sessions, I should say, not seasons. That would be quite a feat. 10 sessions on sales by Jason Elmore. And let me tell you, it is important to know about sales. Why? Because every single one of us will either be doing sales or be sold to. You are either going to try to make a sell or be sold to. And it's important to understand the process, the framework, and how that all goes down, because then you will have an advantage when you're going through these conversations, these meetings, these really negotiations. Like, you can't expect to close a deal in one day or one meeting, usually, if you're selling to another business. But you may be able to do that if you sell it to a consumer. But again, if you're in a B2B, there's a whole process that needs to happen. And if you're looking to be sold, looking for a vendor, that is, to pick up some work for you as a small business or a larger business, maybe you just are over a division or over procurement, I guess would be what you'd be in for a big corporation. You want to understand the process to know what to expect and be able to prepare. So one of the best, or if not the best thing you can do in negotiations, is to be prepared. You will have the biggest advantage. Whoever is the most prepared has the biggest advantage. So when you put HTBT in the memo field, you'll get a HTBT mug. And you will also get those 10 sessions by Jason Elmore, and you will become more successful in business. Check them out. Really great. And there's tons of other stuff coming out too on the network. It's just a really great place to support Christians, support proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life, getting free mugs, getting a bunch of great content as well. You will not be disappointed. So AMC has been making the news. They have found the subscription sweet spot, quote unquote, and they're avoiding the fate of MoviePass. And they came out with saying they hit their goal of 8,000, or they exceeded their goal. Their goal was 500,000 members by June 26th. They actually hit 800,000 members. So that's a pretty good number. That's a pretty good margin or excess of the goal to hit 300,000 plus on top of their goal. That's awesome. And their program's called Stubbs A-List Program. And what you can do is you can see 3 movies a week. And now, I don't know who these people are that have time to see 3 movies a week. I don't know people that would want to see 3 movies a week. I am biased, though. I can tell you that I do not like seeing movies in a movie theater because I hate people. No, I'm just kidding. I don't hate people. But people in groups can be really annoying. My wife is totally just laughing at me right now. We haven't been to a movie in years because the last time I went to a movie, I just had enough. This lady picked up her phone and had a full-on conversation during the movie. Not a text message, not checking her Instagram, but had a full-on audio conversation. And that was just the last time I was going to spend $20 to hear somebody on the phone that I don't care about. That's very unchristian of me, I'm sorry. And the statistics of how many people see a movie is kind of surprising to me. It's between 2.6 and 4.7 movies per month by people. And the first thing I think of is, man, $20 a movie and you're seeing 4.7 movies a month? That's $94. Like, just get Netflix or rent it when it comes out and then invest that money every month into your portfolio. I guarantee you that's going to be a more lasting impact than any movie you go see in the movie theater. So that's just some food for thought if you're one of those 4.7 movies per month moviegoers. And I found it fascinating just talking about what the MoviePass's fate was, the fatal flaw of MoviePass. And I went back and I was like looking through and thinking about it. And it was this, they thought of the averages, just like the 2.6 to 4.7 movies per month was the average that someone watched a movie. And they said, okay, that's great. So we will price our product with that in mind. And we'll assume that most people will be in that average or below. And it turns out that no, people were using MoviePass all the time and it was really cheap. And then they had to start making changes and their changes became more and more often and more frequent because more people were seeing movies than the statistics and the averages before the process started, before the program was implemented, before that was a feature. People would pay their $20 every movie and go see. And then when it was $20, people were seeing 2.6 to 4.7 movies per month. And then, oops, sorry, I just slammed my mug. And then when this unlimited plan for a really affordable rate came into play, well, all of a sudden people were seeing movies a lot more. And that is just really predictable if you know economics. And it's a really great opportunity for us to come back to the simple supply and demand model. The lower prices are, the higher demand's gonna be, the lower supply is gonna be. The higher the prices, the higher the supply is, and people are gonna be more willing to supply a product or service because the margins will be better, but less people are gonna wanna spend that money. And this is what happened here. There was a shift in the curve because prices dropped. Well, I guess I shouldn't say it was a shift in the curve. That is economically incorrect. But the median dropped because the prices dropped. And so because the prices dropped, the demand increased all the more. And MoviePass was ruined because now all the theaters were realizing they were being taken advantage of. And they asked for changes. And they wanted more money. And the model went away. Just like that, and no one likes MoviePass anymore. But it looks like AMC has found kind of the sweet spot, as they say. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on that and see how that goes and how they try to navigate around the fatal rocks in the sea that MoviePass ran into. But that just emphasizes again the importance of understanding supply and demand and how prices impact the demand and impact the amount that you are going to have to produce and give out for a certain price. It shouldn't have been hard. That should have been an obvious glare or an obvious red flag when they were doing these models. They're statisticians, or maybe they didn't even have any and they just saw these stats and someone who doesn't understand stats just ran with it, raised a bunch of money and built MoviePass. I don't know. I don't know how it happened, but supply and demand is important. It's relevant. And that's why we talk about it from time to time, because that will save you from making mistakes like MoviePass did. Another story that I thought was really funny, that even the Mad Money guy came out and was just lambasting the Morgan Stanley analyst. But Morgan Stanley came out and said that Tesla could become a $10 stock. Now, if you're paying attention at all to what Tesla is doing, you would think, whoa, that is quite a drop, because their stock is right around $200 a share, and they're saying it's going to drop to $10. Like, that is dramatic. I mean, now, the guy is obviously anti-Tesla. His price target is $97 a share, so it's already half, but now he's dropping it to $10 a share, whoever is making the analyst or the price target decisions for Morgan Stanley. And I just pay attention to Tesla because back in the day when I was in my business program, I had a very liberal professor. He's a really smart guy. I came from Austin, Texas, in that little liberal enclave that they have there in Texas. And I was saying, we had a big class discussion, a big class discussion. We have 15 people in our class. And the discussion was, do you invest in Tesla? And I forgot what the price was. I think it was below $100 back then. And I was like, no, I would not invest in Tesla. And I gave a whole bunch of reasons why. I don't think electric cars are in high demand. I don't think that the price point is competitive with non-electric vehicles. I don't think Tesla could survive without the government subsidies. And the professor commented back and said, like, you're crazy. Like, look at where the stock has gone and how it's going. And then it just throughout the rest of the classes, the stock went up and up and up because, you know, I mean, Elon Musk is a smart dude. And basically, the company has just been on his back, right? Even in the midst of the cars blowing up and stuff like that. So anyways, I just remember the professor like taunting me about my decision. So now I just watch and I just hope he thinks about that conversation where I was like, I would never invest in them. Now, I should have invested in them because their stock went up astronomically and I would have made a great return. But there is always this just doubt in the back of my mind that this just doesn't work. And so we're starting to see the reality of a Tesla that has to make it on its own. And it will be very interesting to see how that will do because there's been a deceleration in their demand. The demand is going down. And so what do you have to do when demand goes down? Well, it goes back to our previous discussion with supply and demand. You have to cut prices. You have to cut prices to increase demand to get more sales. And the free cash flow generation that they have been relying on to self-fund, to develop and innovate new features and models could start evaporating, which would be really interesting because I think I mentioned this before. I can't be sure, so if I didn't, I'll just recap real shortly. That Elon came out and said basically for the newer models of the Tesla, they already have all of the hardware needed for a software update where you could just go to work and turn your car on autopilot and become a self-driving Uber. So your car basically could make money as an Uber driver while you're working another job. Now that's really sweet. If they can pull that off, man, Tesla stock will be skyrocketing. But who knows if they're going to be able to make it there. They're having some issues with their autopilot. They're having some issues with a lot some of their other software from what I've heard. And if they don't have the free cash flow to fix those things, to spend time on those updates, it'll be interesting to see. And then the other critique of Tesla right now is that they have oversaturated the market outside of China and basically need to move into China to really boost sales. And some of the analysts are saying that, sorry, I just hit my mic. Some of the analysts are saying that there is basically no more room to grow outside of China, that there you're going to have to go to China. Now, there's a big problem with an American company going into China right now. There's this big trade war going on. And if that doesn't get resolved anytime soon, I think Tesla is going to have a hard time trying to grow and trying to continue their sales and increase demand, even if they lower the sales price. There's going to be a point where there's just everybody has bought the electric car that wants to buy an electric car. And who knows where that is? We might be coming up on it. We might be a few years down the road, but I don't really see electric cars as it is today with the technology it has to really ever replace fossil fuel cars right now. So we'll see how that goes. Now, what can you do to be successful and take advantage of this? Well, you can buy some options and short the company. You could laugh at them. You can mock them on Twitter. No, I'm just kidding. But that might be some options for you to consider and to think about. I'm staying away right now because who knows? They might get bought by Apple. That was another rumor. Like if they get bought by Apple, then that stock's going to go shooting way up. So I'm just staying away from Tesla altogether. That's just my personal strategy regarding Tesla. I'm just watching to make sure that my professor knows that I was right. No, I'm not bitter at all about that. The next article I saw was really cool. I've definitely told you this before, that I wish I was a pilot. I'm jealous of pilots. Pilots have emailed me before and I'm incredibly jealous. I don't even want to respond to them on email because I'm just so, no, I'm just kidding. I really do want to be a pilot someday. I would love to do that. And I really just, I don't know what's the word for it, but I would like, I guess I am kind of jealous, but not in like in a animosity way where I'm angry at the person, but I'm just, that is such a cool job to be a pilot. Anyways, Hermes, I think that's how you say it, H-E-R-M-E-U-S. They have just raised money to build a hypersonic jet that can fly from New York to London in 90 minutes. That's kind of like the route that all these supersonic jets are going after. And they plan on coming out with a Mach 5 jet that can get you to London from New York or vice versa in 90 minutes or less. Now, to put that in perspective, currently, I believe it takes about seven and a half hours to get from New York to London. So getting on this jet will reduce the time to an hour and a half. That is incredible. You could literally go to London if you live in New York, or New York if you live in London, for all day meetings and be back in time for dinner. What is that worth? That is going to connect the world. Now, you think about that, and if they can figure out how to make this work, because you have to remember that an airplane is nothing but a bunch of trade-offs. So what are they going to be trading off to be able to get that fast of speeds? And how many people is it going to be able to carry? Because it's either weight, speed, how comfortable you are. There's so many different factors. It'll be interesting to see. They think that it's going to take about 10 years to build. So we're 10 years out, but that's not that far away. And if we could be 10 years out, 10 to 20 years, and being able to travel, what is it, like 3,000 miles, 4,000 miles away? No, it's got to be more than that, because it takes 6 hours to get to California from Hawaii, and that's like a 6 hour, so it's, yeah, 5-6 hour flight. Yeah, so it's got to be like, I don't know, 5-6 thousand miles away. I should have probably noted that before I mentioned this article. But if you could start traveling those distances in 90 minutes, what are the opportunities in emerging markets? What are opportunities to connect other countries in a very quick way? We can fly down to South America and build out industry there instead of having to go to China and different places like that. We can meet, we can physically see these people. We can go down and talk to them and meet their production facilities in person, wherever they are in the world. And it's gonna be a far more doable. Now, it's gonna be super expensive. I think they're gonna sell the tickets for $3,000 a ticket, which, that's pretty expensive. But when you think about, you're getting 6 hours of your life back. And if you are a person that needs to get to New York or London for a meeting, and you are probably in a position then where that could be worth the trade-off. And I don't only, oh, this is the one thing before I wanted to get to the application of this. I thought this was funny in the article. It says that they are building a airplane that will travel at Mach 5. And it says 5 times faster than Mach 1. The speed of sound. Now, I love that it's not just like, oh, you know, normally speed of sound is Mach 1, they'll be going Mach 5, but they have to tell you it's 5 times what Mach 1 is. It's like, you reading this and you don't know that 5 times 1 is 5, like, you have to add that little thing in there, like, oh, Mach 5 is 5 times. Anyways, I don't know, maybe that's just me being stupid and a terrible sense of humor, but I thought that was really funny. And okay, so going back to the cost, so it's $3,000, but you save 6 hours of your time. And this goes to our opportunity cost that we have to make decisions and throughout all life, but just specifically for this. So let's just say, and I'm gonna extend this out to first class, because this supersonic jet is 10 years away at best. But first class is here now. And you may be a consultant, you may be a salesperson, you may be an executive that has to travel a lot. Maybe you have to go offshore, and you do have to go to India or the Philippines or wherever your offshore team is. And you have to fly over there, and because of the time difference, you're basically flying for 8, 9, 10, 20 hours, And then you have to jump on through a car to get to where you're going, and then you have to go into all day meetings. And you could pay, you know, just like $1,000, let's just say it's $1,000 for the business fare to get around the world to where you need to go. You'll be uncomfortable, you won't sleep well, and you'll get there and be exhausted from the traveling. Or you could pay, let's just say $3,000, or three times as much. And you can get there, but you'll be rested because you'll be able to sleep. You'll have a full extended bed. You'll be able to eat. You'll be able to have, you know, your drinks, and you'll be able to relax. And you'll be able to get there recharged. Now, how efficient do you think that person who got the rest they needed, that got the food they wanted on the plane, that they got there and they were recharged, ready to go, how much more effective are they going to be than somebody who's half asleep through meetings all day? And then, you know, when you fly over there, it's not just meetings for one day, because it does take like 20 hours to get to the other side of the world, connecting flights, layovers, all that stuff, and then traveling on the ground. How effective do you think those people are going to be in meetings for multiple days at a time? You're not just there for one meeting. You're there to meet a whole bunch of people. So you're there to make decisions. You're there to, you know, carry a message from the American mainland. How much more effective will you be? Is it worth an extra $2,000? And I know some of you are like me, or is just instantly cheap, and you're like, oh no, I'm just gonna save the $2,000 and I'm gonna just endure it, I'm gonna get bad sleep, and I'll just push through it. But you're not gonna be at your best. And maybe the value that you could make from those trips is far more than the $2,000 you spent on that upgrade. And I just want you to think about things like that. And it goes back to a discussion, is you shouldn't try to find the cheapest things. You should try to find the best value of things. If something is cheap and is gonna break five times, when you can buy the high-end thing that's only gonna break two times in the same period, or not break at all. And if that breaking that one cheap piece five times actually makes, or is cost more than that high-end object, well, then you should buy the high-end piece, because you're gonna save money in the long term, and that's the value that that brings. And that's how you need to be thinking in everything, not just business, not just in your startup, but in your personal life, in your time, and what you put your resources into, is what is the opportunity cost? All right, now let us go out and be successful, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.